Welcome to another edition of the Volunteer State. I'm Blake Topmeyer with John Adams, the Knoxville News Sentinel. John, preseason practice for the Vols rolling along here in the third week of practice. And I think a lot of us, probably myself included, back in, February, I think we thought there was going to be a starting quarterback competition at Tennessee this offseason with all the problems and inconsistencies Tennessee had at the quarterback spot last year, and then Harrison Bailey coming in. It felt like it could be a wide open competition this offseason. But then with the way this offseason has unfolded, just two spring practices, Harrison Bailey missed the first week of August camp while he was in quarantine. I mean, it feels like at this juncture, Jarrett Garantano pretty well has the starting quarterback job wrapped up.
It seems that way, but our recent experiences with Tennessee football are just because someone has a job wrapped up in preseason, that doesn't mean he'll hold the job from wire to wire. We've seen that's kind of indicative of Jarrett's career, certainly last season. I think Harrison Bailey would have had a much better chance, and we've heard so much favorable stuff about him. He would have had a much better chance, as you mentioned, if he could have gone through spring practice. I don't see how Tennessee would have much of a choice now but to start Jarrett Garantano. I think another factor in it, in Garantano's favor, Blake, is this really should be a run-oriented offense. I mean, you really want somebody, a steady hand, that's experienced, that gets you in the right formations, reads the defense appropriately, and manages the offense. I know that's somewhat old-fashioned in today's game. You have so many playmakers at this position in college football. Oklahoma always has one. But I think with Tennessee, and in this particular case, it's going to be a run-oriented offense.
And so if Garantano is the starter, I you kind of alluded to, you know, last season, it doesn't mean he's going to be the starter the whole way. I mean, we saw that when he started seven games last season. Brian Maurer started multiple games. JT Shrout started a game. And Juwan Jennings started a game at quarterback in the Wildcat formation. And so, you know, I think for a lot of teams, backup quarterback's important because, you know, at a moment's notice, your quarterback could be hurt. But for Tennessee, it goes even one step further. Not only could your quarterback be hurt, this season he could be in quarantine. And then also, with just the realities of Tennessee's quarterback performance of the last couple of years, he could be sitting on the bench due to inconsistent performance, and you need that backup. And so, you know, it really feels like that's kind of the quarterback spot that's going to get the dialogue here in the next couple of weeks. Not necessarily maybe the starting competition, but between sophomores Brian Maurer and JT Shrout and freshman Harrison Bailey, who's going to emerge in that backup position? We heard from Jim Chaney last week talking about that, and you know, he said really it's wide open between those three, and I don't know. I mean, of course he was going to say that anyway, but that felt like it had some truth to it. I mean, he didn't try to act like Garantano was in the mix for the backup spot. He acknowledged that, you know, Garantano's running ahead, but then with those other three guys, it's really a toss up at this juncture.
One thing I think we tend to do in the media is once somebody gains an advantage, we kind of consider it game over. If Brian Maurer comes in as a true freshman and moves ahead of JT Shrout, not only a second team, but then advances to the number one position, we just think, well, JT Shrout had his chance, didn't capitalize, and Brian Maurer will be the guy. At least he has an advantage over JT Shrout. However, that eliminates the possibility of improvement. I think it's sometimes harder for a quarterback to make more progress because you can only provide so many reps in practice. But, yeah, I mean, I don't think of JT Shrout as a viable option, but maybe the coaches do. Maybe they see improvement in him. things he's corrected in practice. So I also think, getting back to my earlier point about this being a run offense, run-oriented offense, and I'm not trying to say Tennessee is going to throw 10 times a game, but I just think it should be more run than pass, is my guess. Don't you think that's a valid assumption? Or
I think so, and I wanted to go a little bit deeper down that path, because I agree with you. It feels like it should be a run-oriented team, in which the offensive line is one of the team's strengths. And when I think about what Tennessee's offense could look like this season, I think about the 2017 Georgia Bulldogs. That was the year that Georgia went 13-2 and lost to Alabama in the college football playoff. That season, Jake Fromm was a freshman. He performed okay. I mean, I think we all thought that Jake Fromm's career was going to take off, but he really wasn't asked to do a ton. And Georgia really leaned on its offensive line and its running game that year. And the breakdown of run versus pass for Georgia that season, they ran the ball on 68.7% of their snaps, as compared to passing on 31.3%. I mean, that's about as wide of a difference as I think you'll find in FBS football these days, beyond like a Navy or an Army or something. I mean, you know, you're not going to find many teams running the ball on almost 70% of their snaps. But I feel like this offense, now I'm not saying that Tennessee is going to play Alabama for a national championship necessarily, but I feel like Tennessee's offense could resemble that Georgia offense in 2017. What do you think about that?
Well, that would be asking a lot of these running backs, and I do think Tennessee running backs have really good potential in Ty Chandler and Eric Gray, but that was the Sony Michel, Nick Chubb running back tandem, both guys now in the NFL. Both guys, good speed, strong runners, broke tackle, shifty. What was unusual, I thought, about that team, another oddity of the offense, was that the true freshman, Jake Fromm, goes in there and wins the job. He was kind of the heady, cool game manager that you wouldn't expect a true freshman to be. The other quarterback whom he beat out was Jacob Eason, who had a huge arm. But again, this was going to be a run-oriented offense, and as it turned out, the freshman fit the system better. So can Jarrett Garantano fill that role? I guess he can. I mean, Tennessee's had to rely on his throwing some, but I think it takes the pressure off Garantano.
Yeah, no question. And, you know, if you're looking for, you know, a guy with some leadership to make smart decisions. Now, Jarrett doesn't always, we've seen throughout his career that there are times where he makes very poor decisions. But I thought after he lost the starting role last season and then played a lot as a backup, I mean, really, Tennessee went to a 2-quarterback system almost. I thought after he lost the starting job, he didn't always play great, but I did think he played smart down the back stretch of the season and didn't make a lot of dumb moves. And I think that kind of goes to your point of, you know, if they're going to run a run-oriented offense, perhaps your best choice at quarterback is the guy who can most be a game manager. And on this roster, that very well could be Jarrett Garantano.
I still wonder about, and you alluded to Georgia and its preponderance of run versus pass in 2017. Jake Fromm was not a running threat at all. When I have a run-oriented offense, I like it if my quarterback can run too. I think that gives you a really strong option, because teams have to so respect those running backs behind a really formidable offensive line, and to be able to come back with a running quarterback. I shouldn't say running, a quarterback who can make plays with his legs. Jared Garantano has done that to some extent, but that to me is where Brian Maurer can become a factor. He may not have the same, you might not have as much confidence in him as a game manager. And he's made mistakes in his coming in and out of the starting lineup, but he does present more of a running threat. And when you have a run-oriented offense where you got to first concentrate on that running back, now all of a sudden it just creates running lanes, I think, for the quarterback. So to me, that gives Tennessee another option. I just think it's a real interesting situation, the dynamics of this with quarterbacks, because you have quarterbacks who can do different things. And you may view this differently. So has your opinion on Brian Maurer changed at all?
No, I think we're both kind of still in the same camps there. I think I dubbed you last year the president of the Brian Maurer fan club, right? Or maybe that was the Corvarius Crouch, because you had Corvarius Crouch rushing for 1,000 yards in a season and making 100 tackles on defense at one point, I believe. You know, it's interesting with Maurer. It's so hard to know what to believe because we don't see any practice. We don't see scrimmages. We don't see anything. We see, you know, at least you used to see maybe 25 minutes of practice every preseason practice. But now Tennessee has used the pandemic to close off practice. And, you know, you hear stuff come out of practice, but when you can't see it yourself, it's hard to know what's truth and what's just narratives the coaching staff wants to pump out there. But with that caveat being said, there's just been such little noise and buzz around Brian Maurer throughout this preseason. And, you know, I mean, that could be one of two things. One, he is not leading that backup quarterback competition and is not pushing Jarrett Garantano for the starting job at all. Or it could be two, you know, that maybe he is leading the competition, but the coaching staff wants to light a fire under him, as we've seen staffs kind of play this card sometimes. So you spend more time talking about JT Shrout and Harrison Bailey, and then in turn, the media starts asking more questions about JT Shrout and Harrison Bailey. And you know, you kind of try to use that to light a fire under Brian Maurer. So, you know, I guess the truth is I don't really know which it is, but it does really feel like we're not sensing a lot of buzz around Brian Maurer here 2.5 weeks into the preseason.
Well, I go back to last season and I thought, I know he made some mistakes, made some bad throws, but I did think he energized the offense at times and gave Tennessee kind of a change of pace. And maybe I was overly impressed with him because I didn't really have any expectations of what he might do. I think he was a three-star recruit. Same way with JT Shrout. I mean, there wasn't a lot of talk and speculation about JT Shrout coming in and competing for a starting job. He had a good arm, but it's interesting to me that we have a guy who's a fifth-year senior in Jared Garantano and has started so many games, and that we still have a discussion about all these different people. I mean, about Brian Maurer, who started some as a true freshman last year, and you say now they're not talking him up, and JT Shrout, we thought he'd transfer. He's still on the team. And then Harrison Bailey, the guy with all the potential and the four-star recruit, as you mentioned, he's missed chances because of no spring practice and then being in quarantine this preseason. So I just think it's an unusual situation that we can even have this discussion. And usually if you gave out these numbers and say what people have done, you would say, well, it is all competition for a second team. And if a guy started some last year as a freshman, you'd think he'd be good enough to be second team now. We just don't know. The depth chart at quarterback has just seemed so volatile.
Yeah, with Maurer, I just didn't ever get the sense that he had the demeanor and the makeup to be running your SEC offense week in and week out. You know, this was a guy that seem to be spending a lot of time worrying about his social media image. And I know that that can be said of a lot of players these days, but going back to a conversation we had last year, it was Jake Fromm spending time having dust ups with his ex-girlfriend on social media over a TikTok video. I don't think so. Was he posting Instagram photos from his trip to have a concussion evaluation? I don't think so. And, then you watch him on the field, and I thought the decision-making on the field from Brian Maurer had a long ways to go. He threw interceptions. He threw 75 passes last season. Five of them wound up in the hands of the other team. So he threw interceptions on almost 7% of his passes. And his completion percentage was below 50%. I mean, really, I thought most of the reason for positive buzz surrounding Brian Maurer last season was because he was someone on the field that wasn't Jarrett Garantano. And I think everybody was just fans, and probably really everybody was just ready for any narrative that wasn't Garantano's constant up and downs. And that helped throw some weight behind Brian Maurer. But I really think when you looked at the performance, when you looked at, you know, just the way he carried himself off the field, it didn't add up to a starting quarterback to me.
That's a good point. When you think about Jim Chaney, veteran offensive coordinator, he's been in a lot of different places, been around a lot of different quarterbacks. And to me, he's a no-nonsense kind of guy. He expects things to be, he has in his mind what he thinks a quarterback should be. And so probably he wouldn't be enamored with somebody that's super active on social media. And he's all about doing things the right way, particularly the quarterback position. So maybe the best of Brian Maurer's story at UT has been written. Came in some games, sparked the offense, energized the team. Didn't sustain it for long periods of time, but it was almost as though they used him in the bowl game to perhaps get Jarrett Garantano going. And it worked, which is also interesting. But if this is who Brian Maurer is, this is not a guy that will ever be leading the offense. And that's kind of your theory, and it's maybe harder to dispute it at this point. But what does that say for JT Schrout then? What are we to make of him?
Yeah, I think Schrout last year, I feel like Tennessee staff didn't think he had a good enough grasp on the offense. And you think like, well, maybe he should have. He was in his second year in the program, whereas Maurer was a true freshman. But really, I don't know how much that helped Schrout, because Schrout didn't play at all the previous season, and he had a new offensive coordinator. So I pretty well put them both as on the same footing last year. And I don't think Schrout had a great grasp on the offense, or I don't think the coaches at the very least thought he had a great grasp on the offense. And it seems like they feel like there's been development there. Now, I think Schrout was really just as wildly inconsistent as they all were last season. But I do really like his arm. And, of course, Brian Maurer's got some zip on his passes, too. But I think Schrout has a huge arm. And if he can harness that and, you know, get a better handle on this offense, it does make sense to me why maybe he was written off a little bit too soon. I think JT Schrout's a guy that could really probably thrive as a group of five starting quarterback, but maybe he thinks he's better than that. And perhaps he'll prove that he is, or maybe he's just comfortable with his role being what it is at Tennessee. But I look at him and do see a guy that just seems to have a really big arm, and that young in his career last year, you know, I think maybe we did write him off a little bit too soon.
Well, then the situation gets even more interesting if he has that kind of potential. But this is a year that doesn't count. We've talked about that because of the coronavirus pandemic. would this be a good time to transfer?
Well, I don't know, because I feel like with Shrout, you know, he's now in his third year in the program, and with as many summer classes as these guys take these days, I mean, I don't know where he's at in his degree path, but I'm just thinking here, you know, perhaps in 3 years, maybe he could complete his degree. So if he just sticks it out at Tennessee this year, you know, gets 3 years in at UT, perhaps he could have his degree in hand and be a graduate transfer and just go elsewhere. Or the other thing is, you know, I think there's a lot of thought that the NCAA might finally take up this one-time transfer exception rule after this season. So you could still play this season. It doesn't count against you. And even if he's not a grad transfer, if the NCAA changes that rule, if things don't work out for him this year at Tennessee, he could transfer and still be just a sophomore next year and be on the path to maybe being a six-year senior. So I don't see at this juncture why any of them would transfer, because it's being a free season, and maybe they'll have a free transfer after the year if the NCAA takes up that rule change. So I think they all stick around this year.
Well, the thing is about that, and I thought that the NCAA would have already done this. It can move at a glacier-like pace at times when it comes to change. I think a number of athletes, particularly in basketball, that transferred this year were counting on that, expecting that. And so they didn't think they would have to sit out. So I don't know if I would want to do it with the idea, okay, well, they'll say I can transfer next year without penalty. Maybe they won't. And to me, if you transfer now, go somewhere else, and they don't pass that rule, you could transfer again as a graduate transfer. But I guess one way to look at this is whether, no matter how we break down these guys, it's as though they all have something going for them. Or do we not think Maurer has anything going for him?
No, I think he does. I probably zero in on you know, a few things too much. I mean, and overlook the fact that you know, he does have a strong arm. He does run better than the rest of them. So yeah, I think really as the push for him got stronger last year, I didn't feel like he was playing nearly as well as what some of the buzz and the hype was. And so it probably caused me to, you know, just looking at my own thoughts on him, might have caused me to overcompensate in the other direction. I think that's certainly possible. I also wonder, John, if this whole deal with the backup quarterback situation, we all might be making this more complicated than it needs to be. The reality is Tennessee signed Harrison Bailey, the highest rated quarterback recruit it has signed since 2016, Garantano. This is a free season. There's no need to redshirt this season, regardless of whether he plays 10 games or zero games. He's going to be a freshman next year, and he might very well be getting the reins to the offense next year, unless Garantano wants to come back for another senior season. So with all that in mind, you know, I just wonder, perhaps we're all making this too complicated. Perhaps the easy answer is sitting right in front of everyone. You make the four-star freshman, the highly touted recruit, the backup. You make sure he gets some playing time behind Garantano, and you make sure he's ready for the 2021 season, which, as we've talked about on this podcast before, really needs to be a big year for Tennessee. And the best chance of having a big year in 2021 very well could be with Harrison Bailey at quarterback. And so, you know, we maybe went too long in this podcast without talking more about Harrison Bailey, because he might be the obvious option sitting right there in front of everybody.
I go back to the 1994 season when Tennessee was replacing Heath Shuler as its quarterback. Started out the year, Jerry Colquitt was the designated starter. He backed up Heath Shuler, really heady player, knew the offense, accurate passer. Some people did some things maybe better than Heath Shuler did, who was an incredible athlete. But Jerry Colquitt was a starter. I mean, he goes out in the UCLA game, I think it was on the seventh play, tore up his knee, end of his career. So then Tennessee put in Todd Helton, the baseball player, who's also a really solid quarterback, run, throw. In the same game, it played two true freshmen, Peyton Manning and Brandon Stewart, which was really bizarre, but it was just trying to get something going. And both Manning and Stewart had tremendous potential. Peyton was wasn't the only one then considered to be. I mean, this guy, Brandon Stewart, was a four-star quarterback too from Stephenville, Texas. So then season goes along a couple of games later after Helton leads a run-oriented offense to a huge victory over Georgia. He's hurt. So now you have Peyton and Brandon Stewart in there. Ends up, Peyton wins the job. But my point is, spending way too much time on it, but my point is they play four quarterbacks. So you think going into the season, you got four quarterbacks. At least you don't have to worry about depth. You're not going to have to put a wide receiver at quarterback like Kentucky did last year.
Right.
But you know how things can happen fast in this game at that position. So I think that's another way to look at this. No matter how you want to rank these guys, it's a plus for Tennessee that it has three guys who started a college game and has a fourth who's one of the highest-rated quarterbacks it signed.
John, I want to close with this. I think we both are in agreement that Garantano will be the starting quarterback against South Carolina in the season opener. But prediction from you, if Garantano struggles in that game, let's say, you know, has one of his bad games that he's prone to have a few times a year, throws a couple picks, and Tennessee needs to go to a second option, or let's say, you know, Garantano gets injured at some point during that game, who's your prediction for who Tennessee turns to first in the season opener against South Carolina?
If it happens in the season opener, I still think it would be Brian Maurer, because Harrison Bailey hadn't had enough time, enough practice time. Now, if it happens in the fourth game of the season or the fifth game, maybe it is Harrison Bailey. You make a lot of sense with saying we kind of overthought this. Based on a Harrison Bailey's pedigree and what he did in the high school and how highly ranked he was by recruiting services, eventually this should be his offense. And that's a really good point, too, when you look at it next year. You want him ready in 2021. If he's as good as everybody seems to think he is, then he would be the guy. So, but I still think that if in the first game, if Garantano struggles or his ankle goes bad on him, you need to replace him, I still think they might go with Brian Maurer. Maybe I'm way off base there.
All right, John, I'm sure we'll talk more quarterbacks as the preseason continues, because that's what you do in the preseason. But until then, thanks for listening to this edition of the Volunteer State.